Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth Wee Radio Hour, an hour dedicated to helping you find connection so you can live your best life. It's 5-on-5 time. And once again, folks, the 5-on-5 is sponsored by a wonderful Vero Beach salon called Kaleidoscope Hair. Over there, you will find formerly with the color experience, Sandra Reynoso and Callie Ruiz, and they are dedicated to giving patrons the best cuts, the most natural color, and of course, mine and everyone's favorite, extraordinary shampoos. You can find them in the Kmart Plaza at 1545 U.S. Highway 1, or give them a call at 772-569-3645. Kaleidoscope Hair, get a new twist on your look today. They will truly give you something to be grateful for.
In today's 5-on-5, we're talking about favorite things. Remember that song?
These are a few of my favorite things. Diane would say, don't sing.
Okay. Number 5, favorite art. What do you like? Painting, sculpture, photography, something else? You know, gratitude that it draws you in. What do you like about art? Think about it. Number 4. Your favorite music. For some, it's the style. For others, it's the beat. Still others, the lyrics engage and help them connect. Music can change a mood and improve a day. That's for sure.
I know my daughter just loves to dance.
Yeah.
And with music, it's probably better.
It is. Number 3. I can hear Shane laughing with that one. Number 3, a favorite movie. Is there one you watch over and over? Movies captivate our imaginations and take us away from reality for just a short time. It's good for the psyche. Number 2, a favorite food. Does a flavor take you away? When you eat a certain thing, do you remember your childhood? Does a food type transport you to a new place? Like a deep dish pizza, I think of Chicago. Or watermelon, I think of a summer day. So enjoy your food choices and eat your favorites. And number 1, a favorite place. When you go to this favorite place, you get a deep sense of belonging, the feeling of home. And I wrote down here the Goethe quote, we need to have people who mean something to us, people to whom we can turn, knowing that being with them is coming home.
And you know, places can elicit a real sense of connection.
They do.
In me. I've mentioned before, I cannot sit in front of the ocean without feeling connected to the universe.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Those were the 5-on-5, and today we're in the studio with Dr. Kate Hoffman, acupuncture physician and friend, and she's talking to us about neuroemotional technique. It's a proven combination of scientific research and century-old techniques for healings, and it really can interrupt things that are slowing us down. And places that are where we're stuck, it can really get us unstuck. I love that you're going to talk to us. I think you're going to talk to us about the 3 types of brain. Are you going to talk to us about that?
Sure.
I would love to hear about it. The reptilian brain, the mammalian brain, and the neocortex brain.
Exactly.
Because it's interesting. Yeah. Go slow, because some of us are slower.
Okay. So Dr. Walker told us that, you know, research has said that, no, we don't. Of course, we don't have 3 brains, but we have 3 levels of brains. And what we're using when we listen to this radio show, when we're talking to each other, is the neocortex, the conscious brain. It's the analytical brain. You know, we make decisions. We say this is good, this is bad, all those things. And then we have the mammalian brain, or the subconscious, where all the emotions are stored. And where altruism, religious tendencies, sexuality, complex sensations and perceptions, and it doesn't have time. There is no time in that level of brain. And then we have the reptilian brain, the unconscious, and that makes our heart beat and helps our digestion and things. And we have no control over that.
It's keeping us going.
Yes.
Now, are these his theories, or are these?
No, those are widely okay. spread around. Very, yeah. very...
That's a normal.
Normal things. And we say that the neocortex responds. Questions are directed at the neocortex. The mammalian brain reacts. Suppositions are directed to the mammalian brain. And the reptilian brain has reflexes.
Okay.
And basically...
So let's go, let me go slow. So the reptilian is reflex, like I breathe and I'm not thinking about it.
Right.
When I think about my breathing, it becomes conscious and then I'm thinking in a different place. But most of the time, like, I'm just breathing and it's happening. My heart is beating. It's exactly. happening. I'm not making it do it.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, the mammalian brain is my subconscious.
Yeah.
So that's like when you say there's no time there. I get that. So when something happened to me as a child and mm-hmm. I stored it in my body, it's in that mammalian brain, isn't it?
Exactly.
Because it's there, but I'm not necessarily conscious. It's subconscious.
Now, would that tie in if I became stressed and my breathing became more rapid? Would that be mammalian or?
Well, that's definitely, that's a combination. It's a combination of things.
One
affecting
the other.
Because when you get stress, the stress response is triggers things in the reptilian brain, and so it becomes faster because the stress response means you're trying to run away from something, and so the reptilian brain is going to shut down the digestive tract so you can run away faster and things like that.
Oh, sort of redistribute power.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
And so then the neocortex, though, is where I'm thinking, where I'm making choices, where I'm, you know, like...
Well, you think you're making choices who's really running the show? If the subconscious has 50,000 thoughts to 500 of the conscious brain,
really,
who's really running the show is basically the subconscious.
50,000
mm-hmm.
versus
I am a creature
500.
Of default.
Yes,
isn't that amazing?
And so that's another reason why NET is so incredible, because it basically gives the subconscious brain a voice. I'm not saying that we're communicating with the subconscious, but to a certain degree we are with the muscle testing.
Right.
And basically, so when there are things that the subconscious is not okay with and the conscious brain says, I'm fine with that, uh-huh. but the subconscious is not congruent with that,
oh my
goodness. That's our in with the NET. And then when we are congruent, even on the subconscious level, then it can't bug us anymore. It takes the Velcro away from us. Let's say I come home and my neighbor painted the wall that I look at in, I nearly said a bad word, in a really, really disgusting green, okay? Like vomit green.
Okay.
And I completely get hysterical and I throw myself around and I cry and I'm really overreacting. Of course, I don't want to come home and overreact every day. So I do NET. I become okay with that green. And I do NET on it, and then I come home, and I see the same green wall, and I'm not hysterical anymore. I just say, oh my God, it's not my color. But I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I'm neutral with it. And that's the power of NET. I had a patient who was bit by fire ants and who went into anaphylactic shock. And of course, and then a week later it happened again, and a week later it happened again.
Oh,
so she
goodness.
Became extremely phobic of fire ants. And to live in Florida and be phobic of fire ants, she came in 90 degree weather with rubber boots up to her knee. And she was sweating. And we did NET. After about 3 treatments, she could wear normal shoes again because she was not so phobic anymore.
Got it.
So she still lived in Florida. The possibility of being around fire ants is still there, but she was more okay with it. The phobia was gone, and the fear was gone. So it makes us okay with what we can't change.
That's
and how powerful is that?
So it's like the stress responses are not only in the brain. Mm. They're in the body as well.
Absolutely.
And so as they're stored in the body, they're able to be released
mm-hmm.
or relieved, maybe. I'm not sure. Released or relieved or both.
Both.
From NET.
Yes.
That's really interesting, isn't it?
It is. It's fascinating.
Because it's a physiological testing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's testing. You can't lie during NET. Like one of the things that we showed you. I remember we talked about this once before on the show, and I was telling Lee about it. And you put your arm out, and the practitioner is going to exert pressure on your arm, and you're supposed to hold your arm up. And if you say, my name is Beth Erickson, while she's exerting pressure, I can hold my arm still. But if I say, my name is Lee Kimball, while she's exerting pressure on my arm will go down because I can't tell an untruth that my subconscious knows is not true and have the muscle and maintain my control of the muscles or something. It's like they don't go together.
Well, so you take me to another thought that I had just a moment ago. You mentioned the word lying. So it is only the conscious, the neocortex brain, that is capable of dishonesty.
Hmm. That's an interesting question.
I don't know.
Okay. You know, that's one of my favorite answers when I ask somebody. No, really, because you're not making it up.
No, yeah. No, I'm not going to make anything up.
No, but that's interesting, though. Because the conscious brain, the neocortex brain, is where I get choices.
Yeah, it is where you get choices.
To a certain degree.
But also, I would have to say, the subconscious does not know the difference between truth and perception.
Exactly.
So
that's
so,
where the emotional reality comes in.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So there, you have to throw that out there. And hopefully, and we're going to have now next time, we're going to have a therapist in with us too, so that they can answer some of our questions. Because that's a good question.
Because emotions are not necessarily rational.
No, emotions aren't right or wrong. That's what my weekly blog was on this week.
They just are.
They just are. They're just indicators. They're just indicators of what we think. That's a good question, Lee. That's a good question. But I love this, the three brains, the reptilian brain, the mammalian brain, the neocortex, because really there are things, you know, mostly unconscious, the reptilian. I'm breathing. I'm just things my body does all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even think about it. You're breaking down food. I'm not thinking about breaking down food.
Right.
I might think about what food I eat. Mm-hmm. That will be more easily broken down,
sure.
Especially if I'm working a lot or something like that. I might think about I need to have more protein or I need to have more. I might think like that. My neocortex is kicking in to help, but it's because I learned that. I don't even know if it's real. You know, I don't know if protein is going to help me work harder or not, but I believe it because that's what I was taught.
Yeah.
And so it's an interesting thing. And then the subconscious, though, that's the one that's really interesting because there's so many different things in the subconscious, the emotions, the short-term memory, long-term memory, altruism, religious tendencies, sexuality, complex sensations and perceptions, you know, timelessness. Temperature control is on that list you have here. That's quite a lot. Perfectionism, idealism, relationship-centered, good or bad. These are all things that are just in my subconscious and I'm not really aware of.
And all things that are likely to throw me out of balance.
Exactly.
Right. And, you know, there are things that we do repeat over and over. For example, if you listed the person or persons with whom you've been the most intimate in your life, and I mean physically, mentally, and spiritually, so a relationship kind of person. If you list them and you put their names and you see, is there something that they share? What are the tendencies? What are your tendencies in the relationship? Do you always kind of wear the hat of control? Do you take your lead from them? Do you let them be the boss? You know, are they always funny? Are they always kind? Are they always sharp? Tempered.
Are they always needy? Are they always dependent?
Right. Do they have a quick temper? Do they? These things tend to pick the same kind of person over and over. If you look at it like that, when you do like, you know, any work with your like 12-step work or therapy work or different works that people do, and when you find that about yourself, you get to open your like your mind opens to it and goes, oh, I do that. That's weird.
And that's what I was going to say because it. Isn't carved in stone. Change is possible.
Yeah, change is possible. Well, listen, let's take a quick little break, and we're going to come back and talk more about this NET, neuro-emotional technique. Something for you to think about.
If you connect with the thoughts and words of Beth Wee Radio Hour, you should click on our website to find ideas that will help you live your best life. At BethWee.com, you'll discover Beth's weekly blog that encourages growth, a format you can fill in to create a prayer of victory to help you through a tough time, and in-depth videos teaching on 12 steps, even if you aren't battling alcoholism or addiction. Beth speaks to your personal place of brokenness so you can rise above it. All this and more at BethWee.com. Check it out today.
And welcome back, folks.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We're talking today about NET, Neuro-Emotional Technique. It's a proven combination of the latest scientific research with the century-old techniques for healing. And it is an incredible way to get in and get out and break some cycles that you might be having, things that are tough to overcome on your own. You know, stress responses are not only in the brain. They're obviously in the body. They're stored in our body. We've all felt stress. You've had that stress in your back or that stiff neck, or, you know, you wake up and you're sore because you were stressed out the day before. And using NET, a practitioner will use a manual muscle test that helps determine if you have a stuck kind of pattern.
Right.
And that stuck pattern may be linked to unresolved events of the past. And correction can happen from that. Once it's identified, correction can happen. It's funny because when you identify it, your body starts to assume the same state that it was. It's a state similar to what it was when it first had it. Like the story about Dr. Walker and the woman that he had just readjusted. And she starts to remember the state that she was in after an accident or whatever, and her body goes out of alignment. Her body remembered. She's thinking of it, and the emotional response to it, her body responded and went out of alignment to it.
You know, now, if I may just ask a quick question, and, you know, you had mentioned earlier EMDR, which is another treatment modality, but I had had a trauma, and when I would think of it, it would elicit an emotional response, okay? I dealt with it, you know, through the alternative treatment, and what can happen now is I can think of that experience, and it no longer elicits emotional response. It has never gone back. Is that...
It's similar.
Similar, it's with,
similar.
With NET?
Well, the reaction is similar, that, you know, you can think about things that usually would elicit an emotional response, but that is the only parallel.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, like the... As was described, I have a picture in my head of a woman leaving her house with rubber boots on in 90-degree weather because she might run into fire ants. She can leave the house without the boots now after NET.
Mm-hmm.
That's the response. Now, does that mean that she didn't have trouble with fire ants? No. She had it three times, and it was bad. And she's allergic, obviously, if she went into anaphylactic shock. So... That's important to know about yourself. You're still going to try to avoid fire ants,
right.
But they're not going to stop you. Or they're not going to choose your footwear. You know?
But it doesn't wear off. It's not like tomorrow morning she's going to wake up and feel the inclination to put the rubber boots back on.
No,
because what happens, the correction comes, the body assumes the state similar to the first reaction, and then
like a reboot.
Yeah, and then there's like a reboot.
Sorry.
It's like a... It will help you. What the person, the NET practitioner, will do is they will help you release that old burden through using points, the acupuncture points that Kate talked about, using different treatment modalities, and it's almost as if the weight is lifted from your shoulders. Mm-hmm. It's almost as if it's changed in that moment, and sometimes you know it's changed. But you don't know how, and you just kind of have to live into it. But you live into it without carrying that burden with you any longer. And that is the beauty of NET. I mean, that is where people leave your office, and they're basically different, or they have a new understanding.
Absolutely. I mean, people tell me that... It changes their lives. It has changed my life and many of my patients. They feel lighter. They feel more relaxed. They feel happier. It is really powerful.
It really helped me. Years ago, when I did some work with you, Kate, I had a trauma happen when I was a young girl. And it didn't happen to me, but I was there. I was a witness to it, And I was one of the people sent to get help. And it was, we were on a Lake Michigan in a family vacation. And there was an undertow. And my oldest brother and oldest sister and two of their, one each of them had a friend with them, were pulled out into Lake Michigan. And it was really far out, really scary. We ran back to the cottage to get help. My dad and I had a cousin visiting from Ireland. He was training to be a priest, and he was right before, this was the time where he got to decide if he was going to take the final vows. He was in America visiting us. And they went out to help these kids, and they got the kids back in. But my father and my cousin, Sean, were missing. 11 hours later, they found my dad. But they didn't find Sean. He washed up on shore the next day. He had died. Now, I carried that with me for many years. And when doing work with Kate, I didn't know how much that had affected me. But while doing work with Kate, it came up. And parts of it came out. And it was really strange because that same year, I happened to be in Michigan in the summer. And I went back to that beach. And I was able to walk that beach with my sister, who sent me to get the help. And she was able to tell me what she remembered. And I went through it, and I was able to look at it as an adult now. Not as the little 6 or 7 year old little girl that was sent to get help.
Were your recollections accurate as compared to your sister's?
Not really.
Okay.
Not completely. I was kind of shut down a little bit more. I was kind of boxed off a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But there were some things that were accurate. And it was interesting, though, because the NET set me up to just look at it, just to see it. Now, it's a terrible memory. I mean, it's a terrible part of family history, but it was relieved because of the NET. And then I was able to do some further work with it just to go and walk that walk and talk to people about it. And now it doesn't plague me. And I didn't know it was plaguing me. But there were things that I was afraid of that I was carrying with me just from that.
And the word freedom keeps ringing in my mind. You were free from it.
Yeah. That's the story of somebody who's used NET. Kate, we have just a couple minutes. I want you to just tell us what you would want to tell people.
I would want to tell people that NET can help you with anything. It is a wonderful thing to relieve stress. It's a wonderful thing to relieve obsessive thoughts, patterns, or fears, phobias. I've helped people with their help of their MD to get off of Xanax, off of medications. It helps you with becoming okay with things you're not okay with, becoming neutral with things that you can't change. And what a power that is when you're not obsessing about things anymore that are beyond your control. And it brings so much peace and happiness. And it's worth investing in yourself. So it's a wonderful modality. And I would recommend anybody to try it.
Yeah. I recommend it frequently at Bethwe workshops, at different things. If it's a wonderful new light that has come into this world for people to find their way.
But everything was new at one time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like she said, they just had their, 25th anniversary?
Yes.
So it's been 25 years. It's not a long time.
And Harvard's in on it now. So that's a pretty good endorsement.
Yeah. Well, and they will really assess these MRIs. That's a wonderful way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So keep your ears to the ground and listen for that and see when it comes out. Maybe when it comes out, you can let me know and we can have you back on.
I would love to.
And we can update it.
Absolutely.
You know, we would love to hear that.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kate.
Thanks so much for being here. And to everybody listening, NET, is it for you? Is it for somebody you love? Consider it. You know, it's a new therapy. It's a new technique. But I'll tell you what, it's changing lives.
And you are worth it.
You are so worth it. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be here next Thursday at 11. In the meantime, go to bethwe.com. We're there for you all the time. We love you.